just being willing to take that risk. And we appreciate it very much. Did y'all enjoy it? Say amen. That's a blessing. It'd be better than a cappella or me trying to accompany it with a guitar, though I can do that. This is much better to have the pianos up here. Like you take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 1. And then we'll also look at 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. We've already read verses 11 through 16. Let me reread those, and I'm going to read on through the end of the chapter, actually. And then we'll go to 2 Timothy as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 11, according to the glorious gospel. Don't you like that? Not just the gospel. The glorious gospel. Amen? It's glorious, isn't it? To think that God took us as sinners, provided a way of salvation so that we could be saved, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, that we could have our sins forgiven, washed away, washed in his blood, his righteousness upon us, a home in heaven forever instead of hell forever. It's glorious, the glorious gospel. That's not my message. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. It's an important phrase there. Committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Notice, who hath enabled me. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ, read this phrase with me out loud with you already, and just put yourself in there, would you? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I hope you felt that about yourself. I do. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And I just want to add these next verses. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith and have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And then if you would, over to 2 Timothy, please, chapter number 4. And I'll read verses 1 through 8 there with you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. We began this year preaching on 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 that says, moreover, it is required in stewards, filled in, that a man be found what? Faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God has entrusted stewardship to all of us. God has entrusted stewardships to all of us. We're stewards of all that He's revealed unto us in His Word. Everything that's here, you're a steward of it. You are a steward of it. We're all required, according to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, to be found faithful. Each of us has different abilities, different knowledge base, different experiences, and all of us excel in different ways, but every one of us is required and able to be faithful. Abraham was faithful to lead his family toward God's promises. Moses was faithful in all his house. Joseph was found faithful and was exalted through his faithfulness during extremely difficult circumstances. Jesus was faithful to love, and John the Beloved reflected that faithfulness to love. Daniel was faithful to the degree that no fault was found in him with the stewardships that were entrusted to him. Today, I want to consider the Apostle Paul. Last Sunday, we talked about fatally faithful, the many that gave their lives in faithfulness. But today, I want to consider the Apostle Paul. And my message today is Paul counted and found faithful. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day that you've given to us. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here in this place. Thank you for what you've given us to meet in here. We're blessed, and we thank you for that. I thank you for each person. Everyone has special needs that you can meet and do meet and will meet even today. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to be faithful. And Lord, if there's someone here, anyone, that's not 100% sure that if they died, they'd go to heaven, I pray they'd come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior today before it would be eternally too late. Bless our time. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you notice, if you take your Bibles and go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, talk about Paul counted and found faithful. Counted and found faithful. If you notice in verse number 11, and by the way, there's I'm not going to exegete every verse in these passages because we're taking our points from the passage, but such rich passages, I've preached on them at different times, I want to get distracted from what I've planned to speak by some of the things that we read as we go through there. The Apostle Paul mentioning that he felt he was the chiefest of sinners. I would just like to park on that one a while this morning. But we won't get distracted. We'll stay with the message. And I'll focus on the fact, the idea of Paul being counted and found faithful. Two things. We've been talking about people being found faithful. But first there's the counting to be faithful. Counting to be faithful. Notice in verse number 11 of chapter 1, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. In that verse we see the aspect of something being committed to him. That's what stewardship's all about. Someone has something that they commit to the trust of another. They entrust that person to take care of that which they've committed to them. And here the Apostle Paul sees himself as God used him to write in 1 Corinthians, moreover, it's required in stewards of man be found faithful. Paul seeing himself here as a steward. God entrusted him with the stewardship of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. according to the glorious gospel, which was committed to my trust. That's a stewardship. Paul clearly saw himself in the stewardship role. I hope you do. See yourself that way. And in verse 12, notice if you would, in verse 12 it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord." And the next four words there, "who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." God enabled Paul for that, or an account of that, he counted him faithful. God enabled Paul in that he counted him faithful. So he attributed the Lord here with enabling him. We have to be careful to remind ourselves that we as Christians are not anything in and of ourselves. Jesus said, "Without me you can do what?" Nothing. Dr. Evans at Bible College used to say, we have to see ourselves like a zero with the ring rubbed off. We're nothing without the Lord. People, I can remember growing up, people would say, "Boy, if Elvis Presley would get saved, think of all that he could do. Think of his talent." That's baloney. God doesn't look for talented people. God looks for people who will humble themselves to him, and then he entrusts and enables them. Remember, Moses said, I'm slow of speech. But God enabled him. God used him. And so in verse 12, he attributed the Lord to enable him. We always have to remember it's the Lord who enables us to serve, hear me now, in any capacity in his vineyard. Whatever you do for the Lord, God will enable you to do it. And then Paul explains here how he enabled him. In verse number 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul said here that he had been counted faithful, which resulted in the Lord putting him into the ministry. He'd not yet been in the ministry. He'd spent some time with the Lord on the backside of the desert, we understand. But he'd not yet been fully in the ministry in completeness yet he was counted faithful. Counted faithful. The Lord took account based on what he himself would do in and through Paul, enabling him, and counted him faithful. To be counted faithful means to be considered or deemed or counted, thought as being faithful. And of course, God took him and put him in the ministry. The word ministry, it's the same word from which we would get, it's an expanded idea of the word diakonos, but it's servant or service here, the noun ministry, serving in ministry. And the Paul said, God enabled me because he counted me faithful and he put me in service. Ministry, you know, people want to be called and title a leader. That's not what ministry is. Ministry is serving. If it means leading, it's serving him to lead as he wants us to lead. But ministry is always serving. Today, the modern church has the idea of a pastor being a CEO who commands from command central everybody to do what they should do. And they've distorted a verse that says, talks about we're given for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. They distort that thinking that we perfect the saints and do the ministry, and they do it all and we sit back and watch. Everybody in any church I've ever pastored learns to understand that I'm there to serve and I'll do everything and anything as I have done and do. Amen? I love my sergeants in the military that were hands-on. You know, if I think sidewalk needs to be shoveled, you'll see me doing it too, right? Or if we need to witness, I'll witness too. But I'm not going to sit in command central and push buttons for people to do what they ought to do. Paul saw the ministry as service. serving the Lord, and serving others. And so God's calling assured God's enabling. God counted Paul faithful, enabling him. What's that mean? Well, it includes a few things. First, it includes mercy. God counting us faithful, enabling us, requires his mercy. And it's mercy for the past. Paul said, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained, verse 13, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Very interesting. God does not look down for someone who is perfect and say, I'm going to use that perfect person. God's enabling starts with God's mercy. Because of God's mercy, we can be counted faithful to do something for the Lord. Think about what Paul was, his mercy for the past. Paul murdered or had Christians murdered. He stood by and held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. I didn't take time to bring that out last Sunday when I talked about Stephen, but Paul was there acknowledging, encouraging the death of the fatally faithful Stephen. And now God counts him faithful, putting him in the ministry, because it starts with mercy. Mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve. If I got what I deserved, I would go to hell. Period. If I got what I deserved, anything I have is better than what I deserve. If I got what I deserve, I'd go to hell. My circumstance may be bad, but if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. My health could be bad, but if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell. Everybody in the world could turn against me and hate me, but if I got what I deserved, I'd go to hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Paul said he enabled him because he counted him faithful first because of his mercy. The past zeal had been used in a wrong way. You know, it's interesting to me that often when people have been zealous for evil get saved, they become zealously faithful for the Lord after they get saved. Who will love me more? Jesus said, you know, as the woman wiped his feet with her hair and tears, who's gonna love me more? The person's gonna be forgiven more or less? Paul said, I did it ignorantly, unbelief. Thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve for our past sin. What mercy. I'm reminded of Psalm 130, verse 3, that says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So there's mercy for the past. That's how God enables us. That's how he counts us faithful, because I've shown you mercy. Secondly, grace for the present. Paul doesn't become worthy. Notice, if you would, there in verse number 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. God had mercy on me, and by his grace, he's enabled me. The easy way to distinguish grace from mercy, I learned years ago, is mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. God's riches at Christ's expense, grace. And so he said, by grace that was abundant with faith and love, faith and love all wrapped up in the grace that God extended to Paul for the present. Thank God for his grace that allows us to serve him. And then also the counting faithful was for a purpose, which was a pattern. God was going to use Paul for a pattern for the future. He was set forth as a pattern. God counted him faithful, showing his mercy, extending his grace, and setting him out as a pattern for others. Notice in verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. God counts us to be faithful through his mercy, through his grace, and for a purpose. He wants to use us as a pattern to demonstrate his love. Think of it. The early Christians were baffled that the one who sought to destroy them was now preaching the gospel he sought to destroy. His life was used as a pattern to other people that would believe. Well, yes, you're bad, but God's mercy and grace is extended for you, and now he wants to count you faithful and put you into some type of service so that you can be a pattern for others of the grace and mercy of God in your life. You know, every time we stand for the Lord and live for the Lord, we are setting a pattern for people around us about what God can do. We all have a story of what has happened in our lives, how we came to know the Lord, and what, you know, we might not have been like Paul, but I bet most of us were blasphemers in some way, injurious in some way. But God transforms us. He counts us faithful through his mercy, his grace, enabling us in that way so that we can become a pattern to other people. God uses people that he counts to be faithful. You know, Paul instructed Timothy about committing spiritual responsibility to people. He said this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou," listen now, "to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Here's what a leader does. A leader says, something needs to be done. Who is a faithful person that I can count faithful to entrust a job to? Some people say, boy, if I had a job, I'd be faithful. No, if you're faithful, God may have something for you to do. He counts us faithful, accounts us to be faithful, and says, okay, now I can entrust something to you. We're not going to go down to the courthouse and find out who is guilty of the most theft and say, hey, I'd like to take you to take care of our finances, please. We're not going to do that, right? We're going to find someone who's faithful. And Paul told Timothy, you count someone to be faithful before you contribute or commit to them something to be faithful with. People are to be counted faithful first. And are we abounding in God's mercy? Are we thriving in his grace? Are we available to be used as a pattern? If God did this with Paul, he can do it with me. If God did it with Paul, he can do it with you. So I ask you to let the Lord count you to be faithful and accept that you do have a stewardship today. Paul was counted faithful, but then Paul was found faithful. Amen. There's been a lot of people that have been accounted to be faithful but didn't end up that way. John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas, but Paul said, you know what, he can't go a second time because he wasn't found faithful. He was counted faithful, but not found faithful. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world. He had been counted faithful, but not found faithful. In our scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read Paul was counted faithful by God because of God's mercy, because of God's grace and God's purpose to make him a pattern. He counted him faithful and said, I'm going to put you in ministry. But then he's found faithful. If you take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Counted is to be assessed, to be valued, to be determined, to be looked upon as faithful. Found includes the idea of someone coming upon, to meet, to search after, and find something sought. Found to be, after discovery, found to be. In the beginning of the ministry, the Lord looked at Paul and said, by my mercy, by my grace, by my purpose in making you a pattern, I count you faithful and I'm giving you the ministry. And now we jump to the end of the ministry, and we see Paul being found faithful. Let's look at these verses here quickly. Verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's a funny verse in and of itself. People that want their ears scratched with things they want to hear, and they don't want to hear the truth of the word of God, thus saith the Lord. So I'm going to go where I like it. Why don't you go where you hear the word of God and it touches your heart? And where God challenges us. Anyway. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. When we say no to God, we say yes to all kinds of stuff. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Paul talks about here being found faithful. He'd been counted it, and now the reality, he's found it. Paul had been counted faithful before he was found faithful. The Lord provided a means to be counted faithful, but Paul offered the life to accompany it and be found faithful. There's been many, many people that have been entrusted to something. They think, oh, wow, this is wonderful. Something's been committed to me. I've been counted to be faithful, but they don't fulfill it. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about one in authority having to give an account to God for someone who's not been faithful. There's been instances where maybe a part of ministry has been entrusted to someone and counting them faithful, but then down the road, things in their lives display they're not faithful. They're not found faithful to the Lord, and that trust is removed. One may be counted faithful, but not found. We see it happen all the time. But Paul was counted faithful by the Lord, and then through the offering of his life to accompany it in service, he was at the end of his life found to be what the Lord had accounted him to be. In this passage, we see areas that give us insight into how Paul was found faithful. How do we get there? First, there's an exhortation in this passage given to Timothy. And I've found in life that what we challenge others to do is what we've learned helps us. I often say to young people, how are you doing on your Bible reading? I challenge people to read their Bible every day. Why? I know it helps you. And here's Paul in chapter 4 and verse 1. He's saying to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God. He's committing him. We read in chapter 1, verse, the last part of the verse. He's committing something, entrusting something to Timothy. That at the end of his life, he himself has been faithful with. Let's see what he says. See what he told Timothy would make him to be found faithful. He said, preach, watch, endure, and work. Want to be found faithful? Take a vacation every week. You know, do as little as you can. No. You want to be found faithful? Preach and watch and endure and work. The word preach means to proclaim. It's a Greek word, caruso. To preach, to proclaim like a herald. Why do preachers get loud? This is part of it, amen. Hear ye, hear ye. I have something important to say. No, hear ye! Amen? to proclaim like a herald, to preach. Notice what he said in verse 2, preach the word. One time, Brother Pete Jewell caught me at the close of a service outside the entrance there, or the exit. At that point, when you go out, it's an exit. When you come in, it's an entrance, right? And he was exiting, and he said to me, and Pete Jewell, you know, he was funny in his own right. He has a great sense of humor to tell jokes, and so, but he was very, very somber, too. He grabbed my hand, and he said, preacher, thank you for preaching the word. And you know what my reply was? Pete, I have no choice. Modern day preachers want to come up with new ideas, revolutionary thoughts. And Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Amen? Proclaim it like a herald. This is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God. I'm not giving you anything new. I'm proclaiming today what God has put in his word for us. It's still relevant. We just need to relate to it. Preach. And then he says, and he said, do it instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Teach it. Wait for people to learn to live it, exhort them to live it, reprove them if they're not, rebuke them if they're going against it, but preach it, preach it, preach it. Verse 5, he says, but watch. I'd like to take a time, look at each one of these verses. We've seen them before, we won't this morning. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, watch. The word watch means to be ever vigilant, aware, and alert, to be sober, calm and collected in spirit, temperate, circumspect, watch. I guess I often think of that word to watch when I see a rabbit out in the backyard or a squirrel. After I think about my 22, I think about that. I'm just kidding, anybody. Okay, no. I think about, and how, well, they're watching. They're watching for anything that might be after them. They are alert. Try to sneak up on a rabbit. Okay. They're alert. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, you watch. You watch out for things that would try to destroy the ministry, and a preacher has to be viewing from the eagle's perspective and watch what's going on all the time. Amen. Watch. I've watched trends and avoided them when I've watched others get engulfed in them. Watch. And then he says to endure. Watch thou in all things. Endure. What's the next word, folks? Endure afflictions. In his exhortation to Timothy, having been accounted to be faithful, telling him to be found faithful, then you need to endure afflictions. The word endure means to stay under the load through the heaviest of circumstances. To endure. To persevere through hardships. The saying, when the going gets tough, the what? Tough get going. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Endure hardness. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I never experienced hardness like other soldiers have experienced hardness. But I tell you what, some of the things we went through taught us to endure hardness. You're going to make it to the end of the 17-mile road march through the sands of Fort Dix, New Jersey, if you just keep picking up your feet and putting them down. You know what? They treated us wrong there. Amen? This is an aside. They always would line us up from the tallest to the shortest in a long formation like that. All the tall guys would be in the front, and us runts would be in the back. And it wasn't based on W either. W always put me in the back too. Wanted to change my name, but never did. Anyway, and when we'd go on these road marches, these big guys up front, you know, they'd be stepping out. And us little guys running to catch up with them. And then they'd slow down, and we're like, and then they'd step it out. And so we're running and slow, running and just trying to keep up with them. But I always remember, they said, just keep picking them up and putting them down. I'm telling you, they were difficult. That's the extent of the hardships, really, that I had in the military. But I tell you what, other soldiers have really endured some hard times. You ever watch some of the documentaries? You ever watch some of the things of World War I, World War II? The Vietnam War, Iraq, Afghanistan, what people have endured. That's hardness as a soldier. If you're counted faithful to be entrusted with something, to be found faithful means that you will have endured afflictions. You made it through. By the grace of God. Endure afflictions. Then he says, do the work. Work. Do the work of evangelizing. The ministry requires effort and it's constant work. The objects of the work are people. The means is evangelism, edification, equipping, etc. But do the work. From time to time, people have said to me something, Pastor, don't take this wrong, anybody, but some people said, I think maybe you're doing too much. No, I'm doing my work. Amen? That's my work. It's what I do. And it's not just on Sunday. Because you can't preach this if you didn't work throughout the week. Amen? Would you understand something? That God gives us something and he says, work at fulfilling what I've given you to do. Stay at it. Work at it. And then we see first Paul's exhortation to Timothy. Then we see Paul's example here as far as how he's found faithful. Paul's example of his life in ministry. His example. We see steps that resulted in Paul being found faithful. Now, what he shared with Timothy was, I think, in part. But he gives us some steps that he took that resulted in founding faithful. Look, if you would, there in verse number 6. For now I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Would you read verse number 7 out loud with me? Ready? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul's example of how he being counted faithful and given responsibility and found faithful is this example here. He said, I fought a good fight. That required battling for the Lord in the spiritual arena. I fought a good fight. I was tempted to watch a boxing match last night on TV, but I just didn't feel like it. I didn't. I saw it for a second and said, no, I don't want to watch boxing right now. But think, Paul said, I fought a good fight. He's talking about duking it out. It's a constant battle for us to end up serving the Lord after we start out serving the Lord. It's a constant battle. We battle the world, we battle the flesh, our own flesh, we battle the devil. But it's a battle. Everybody here in this room this morning is battling to be found faithful. You're battling with emotions, you're battling with doubt, you're battling with circumstances, you're battling with the input of others, you're battling with devil's temptations. You're battling with the temptation, the lust within that gets drawn away by temptation, but you're battling. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I stayed in there round after round. I might have got knocked down, but I didn't get knocked out. It's interesting to me because in Romans 15, he said, Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted for the saints. Paul asked the people at Rome to strive together with him in their prayers to God for him. I want you to think about something. Many of you don't know our missionaries well. That's why I like to have them come, share what they're going through. You know a little bit more about the cars, had them having been here last week, and what they struggle with. One of the things that they struggle with is going to township boards to get permission to do things. So if you can picture it, that missionary would step into the ring of civil authority for a church. We're not there with them, but we can be right there in the sidelines with them in prayer. As Paul battled, he asked people to pray. Our missionaries battle, we're with them in prayer. You and I battle, and we pray for one another. He fought a good fight, battling for the Lord. That's how he finished, did it. Then he finished his course. Paul's example, he finished his course. Finishing is not something that everyone does. Many start, but most don't finish. Finishing means I accepted that which I was entrusted with, I engaged in it, I worked at it and was careful, I fought through things that would have distracted me. I kept my focus. I kept my eye on the prize. I've completed. I've done everything I was supposed to do. I completed it. I've asked forgiveness where I've failed, and I've gone, and I've done it, and I've done it. And all of a sudden, I'm before the Lord. Finishing means that we stay constant. We continue to do what we're entrusted to do until the master says, you're done. There are so many, I used to. I did once. But Paul said, I finished my course. None of us are the apostle to the Gentiles like Paul was. But all of us have stewardships that we need to finish. We start out and we finish. The course, that which has been entrusted to us, that which is laid about before us, that which God has planned for us to do. The course. The word finish means to bring to a close, to fulfill, to completeness. He did it. And then what else in Paul's example is that he kept the faith. Notice if you would there in verse number 7, he says, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. The word kept means to attend carefully to take care of or to guard. He kept the faith by guarding the faith. The whole body of truth that had been entrusted to him, he kept it. He guarded it. You remember he wrote to the church at Galatia, and he told them he was surprised that they had so soon removed from him that called him. Paul guarded the truth. There's a lot of different ideas, but we need to guard what's been entrusted to us in truth. Amen? Guard it. Notice, if you would, that phrase there, I have kept the faith. Everything included with it. The faith in Jesus Christ based on the written word of God, that God would send his son into the world, and the completed word of God, that the word of God came, he lived and died and rose again, and he's coming again. I've kept it all. Our keeping it all is staying true to the whole tenor of Scripture and the promises that God has for us, keeping it, guarding it. I try to guard our church doctrinally. There was a time when someone was trying to pollute our people's minds with Calvinism, and I believe it is a distortion of truth. Leaving little leaflets out there. If they get put out there, I put them out there. If I don't get permission, give permission to get stuff out there, it's going. Amen? This isn't our church isn't a place for everybody to advertise what they want. It's a place for a steward to guard what God's given us. Amen? Person wrote me nasty letters and asked if I was what I thought of the letters, and I said, not much. I wondered how many people did God choose and not choose, if he chose some and not others, and how do you know it was you? My Bible tells me whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If any man will come to me, let him deny himself. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Look upon me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God. Paul kept the faith. Well, you read Galatians. You read Galatians, just six short chapters. Read six short chapters. Read Galatians, and you see Paul guarding the faith. What's the result? You know what it is. He was counted and found faithful. The result was that he was found faithful. Faithfulness is not just a position one takes on an issue. Faithfulness requires fighting battles that go along with it. It requires continuing with that position, not being given to change. Faithfulness requires guarding that which is the foundation, being truth. Many have conviction but don't fight for it. Some have conviction but never do anything with it or for it. Some have activity with no principled, unwavering conviction, just back and forth every which way. But when we're committed something, counted faithful, we need to be faithful to that one who gave it to us, faithful to all that's connected with it, and then at the end be found faithful, hand it back, say it's in the shape you gave it to me. I guarded it. Paul was counted and then found faithful. Therefore, he was reward worthy, not because he was counted faithful, but because being counted faithful, he was found faithful. Jesus told us to occupy till he comes. The stewardship means to do it all. With all he has given us by his grace and mercy, do it all until we're done, and we're only done by his time clock. You don't quit. Give God a 2-week notice. I think about a couple of illustrations here and I'll close. I've mentioned Steve Homeke here before. Steve Homeke was a drinking, rough, tough cowboy in the rodeo circuits in the 1940s. 50s, worldwide roping champion, did rope tricks in front of the Queen of England. His children got saved in a vacation Bible school that my dad's church had out in Pennsylvania. And then they had a revival meeting, and Steve Homeke came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. 45 years of age, rough, tough, real cowboy. surrendered his life at 45 years of age, having mocked Christians, made fun of Christians, beaten up some. Gave his life to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, was counted faithful, given a ministry, and for 45 years rode via horseback from adobe to adobe in the Navajo reservations, giving the gospel to the Navajo Indians. He said that when he died, he wanted to die with his boots on, preaching the word of God. His last message was at a nursing home out there in Arizona, where he stood and preached, probably yodeled and sang, standing, of course, in his cowboy boots. He preached the message to the people, sat down, and was taken home to glory. He was counted and found faithful. Paul died under the authority of Nero, having been counted by the Lord and found faithful. And I inject a little bit of an illustration in my message this morning. Today, my mother-in-law lies in a hospital bed. Maybe she's going to go to glory right away. She's going to go someday. But let me just tell you something about her. When I was in fifth grade, she wasn't my mother-in-law. When I was in fifth grade, she taught training union. Churches used to have a training union in the afternoon at church before the evening service. Some of the churches did. Anybody here ever been involved in one? They called training union? All right. Okay. And she taught it. She had been committed responsibility. Now we're talking 1968. Or 67, 68, somewhere around there. And then she taught Sunday school for years. She'll be 95 this coming May, June. She just gave up her teenage Sunday school class last fall because she just couldn't physically do it anymore. Always. She has a storehouse. My kids would laugh. A storehouse full of stuff that she bought for crafts, for kids' projects. And I mean, a storehouse full of stuff that she'd used in teaching and teaching in all those years. You know what? When I preach this, I can think of her. She was counted faithful, a lot entrusted to her. And let me tell you what, she's found faithful. God's expectations of counting us faithful should become our experience in being found faithful. By His mercy and grace, He counts us faithful. By our faithfulness to Him and His Word, we can be found faithful. And then our experience becomes an example for others to follow. I ask a question, don't you want those around you to think of you, of being faithful? God's mercy and God's grace has counted us faithful, so let us use our lives and actions and be found faithful. It starts with coming to know the faithful one who died for you. That's Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, you need Jesus today. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word. I pray that it would have an impact on our lives today. That the pattern that Paul was purposed to display to us by You might become a pattern that we have for others. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage those that may be discouraged, challenge those who need to really begin in Christian service. And Father, rebuke us if we have a heart that would want to change or turn away. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not 100% sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray the Holy Spirit right now would prick their heart for their need to be saved once and for all, forever, putting their faith in Jesus, who died and rose again for them in their place, paying for their sins. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I'm going to